Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello, ladies and gents, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Today, we are talking all about marketing, but we're approaching marketing from a different perspective because typically when we talk about marketing, it's all about open rates and click-through rates and this social media platform or the algorithm change on this, that, and the other. And today, I want to talk to you about strategic marketing and getting right back to the foundations and the fundamentals that actually power your marketing. And my guest today is Chris Hogan, and Chris is an absolute gem of a fellow. He is the host of the Proactive Podcast. He's got a book called Building Brands on Purpose. And in our conversation, we're going to talk about the role of purpose, the role of values, not just in your marketing, but in your team structure and how all those things interplay and interact. This is a deeply strategic conversation. We're going to encourage you to raise your gaze. So rather than looking for the silver bullet, the magic pill, the short-term fix, this is about getting those foundations right. And I think you'll enjoy it a lot. It'll cause you to think, it'll cause you to reflect, and I hope it'll cause you to approach your marketing from a different perspective. And I really hope you listen to this a few times through because Chris does share some wonderful thoughts, some wonderful pearls of wisdom and some wonderful experiences that I think will be really helpful as you start incorporating these concepts into your own marketing. Now, for those of you that have not yet heard, we have launched the Savvy Dentist Magazine. The Savvy Dentist Magazine is designed as a business magazine for dentists. It's designed to give you the tools, the tips, the knowledge, and the insights to help you grow your practice, to achieve the things that you want from your practice. Now, that's going to include articles on things like information technology, computers, and so on. It's going to include articles around accounting, personal finance, wealth. We're going to be talking about HR and teams, marketing. We're going to be talking about fit out and design, property strategy, and a whole heap of other things as well. And the whole idea of this magazine was I wanted to create a resource that people could read, absorb, digest. And I wanted to give you in-depth analysis, in-depth articles, rather than skimming across the surface, rather than kind of giving you a snippet. I wanted to give you the full menu. I wanted to give you a meal that you feel satisfied with rather than just a taste. And so if you want to get a copy of this magazine, it's totally free. You can subscribe to the digital format or to the print format. Now, all you need to do is head across to SavvyDentist.com/magazine, enter your details there, and we'll make sure you get the magazine delivered to you. We have released the first edition, which was the winter edition. We're currently putting together the spring edition. There's some really good things coming out in that one as well. So I hope you find it really helpful. I hope you find it a useful resource on your practice ownership journey and look forward to sharing that with you to the best of our ability. But for now, let's get on to our conversation with Chris Hogan. I really hope you enjoy this conversation. He's a great guy and you're going to love this conversation. Chris Hogan, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Join us all the way from the gorgeous Burleigh Heads, mate. How's things in your neck of the woods?
Gorgeous, as you would say. Blue skies, beautiful waves, perfect temperature water. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else, mate.
Mate, that's beautiful one day, perfect the next kind of slogan coming at us right there, isn't it? It is a beautiful part of the world and it doesn't really need any additional marketing. It kind of sells itself. Mate, you have been in and around marketing for decades. You've done lots of interesting things with lots of interesting companies, different brands and so on. I wanted to ask you how you found your way into that space because it's not something that, you know, 20 years ago or however long ago you got into that, it wasn't as common a path as it is now. So what piqued your interest? What drew you into that? What captured your attention?
Look, 25 plus years ago, about 28 years ago, I was in a careers expo.
Yep.
I'll be honest, I thought I was going to be in the defense force after school.
Oh wow.
And I was just cruising past this guy who was presenting on a old school computer.
Yeah.
You know, it was a big screen back then, but you know, it was a massive, you know, CRT monitor and all the rest of it. Not as sexy as they look now. And he had these graphics on the screen and it looked like a computer game or, you know, like something really cool that I'd probably want to play at that age. I just went, what's that? What are you doing here? And he said, well, this is a game. And essentially, if you do this course at university, at Griffith University on the Gold Coast, first effort offered in Australia, you could be designing computer games. And I played games and he just had me.
Yeah. Boom.
Thought, wow, what? I could actually do that. I was creative and I just thought, fantastic. So it was just pure accident. Then, you know, through going through the course, I figured, well, where am I going to apply this? Lo and behold, being the guinea pig in the first ever Bachelor of Multimedia course offered in Australia meant that I came out into a landscape that just wasn't ready for what I'd learned.
Yeah.
And had to scale everything I'd learned back.
Yeah.
And adapt to the market. And that's been the course of my whole career, yeah, is adapting to the market. And so it certainly kept me on my toes and always makes for interesting years and months ahead.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, graduating with a bachelor's in multimedia, you know, way ahead of your time, you know, probably going to employers, they would have no idea what that involved, what it means, how to use those skills. And of course, you do use a lot of skills, I'm sure, from back then today because they're transferable and you obviously layered those skills. I want to talk to you, though, about your marketing work because, again, your background is really interesting. You've had conversations with, you know, lots of smart people, Gary Vee among them and all those sorts of things. When we talk about dental practice, you know, dental practices are like most other small, medium businesses. You've got, you know, a couple of, you know, highly technical people delivering the service. You've got a support crew around them. They're not really taught much about business or indeed marketing in their journey. And it's a skill set that they either have to develop later in life or they oftentimes ignore it as well. In the work that you've done with lots of different businesses, lots of different industries, is that a common thing that you see across industry or do you see it as unique to dentistry? Is it you know, kind of universal?
Most business owners start out buying themselves a job.
Yeah.
But I say buying because they've probably invested some of their own cash to get started. And yeah, they're working in the business and sometimes never on it.
Yeah.
Depending on how long you've been in business, that can ebb and flow. You can go through stages of growth and decline and you can have that lifestyle business where sometimes it feels like you're on top of the world and, you know, you're sitting on a beach in Koh Samui and your team's working away and you go, wow, this is what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
As a business owner, this is the dream. But then there's times where, you know what, you've had numerous employees maybe exit or you know, changes in business, you know, have occurred and all of a sudden you're back in the trenches and you're going hard at it again on the tools.
Yeah.
Super common. And that's why like growth is, focusing on growth is really important. But I guess the specific thing that you need to focus on in order to attain growth is not necessarily the financials, which is extremely important,
yeah,
but it's actually building your team's culture and capability and happiness. Mate, this wasn't even present in my mind 25 years ago.
No.
Absolutely not, right? It's only come about through experience, trials and tribulations of my own, making stupid numbers of mistakes and also working with, you know, hundreds of businesses around the globe that I see the errors of their ways and I've been able to be embedded in their problems and helping them find solutions. And sometimes I find them and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's not my job to find them and solve them, depending on what area it is, right?
Yeah.
But marketing has really become extremely more holistic in its capability to improve organizations, first and foremost, their purpose and their values.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because that proliferates through everything in the organization, especially the marketing.
Mm.
And then what's some of the key levers that we can use inside the purpose and the values, and that is culture. And I commonly say we use marketing as a lever for culture and culture as a lever for marketing. Because where on your expense lines in your P&L is there a budget for culture?
Yeah.
It's non-existent, right?
Yeah.
But there's more than likely between 5 and 12% for marketing.
Yeah, lead generation, yeah.
Uh-huh. So how do we utilize that to also improve the culture of the organization while also improving the brand, you know, and growing the brand and growing the organization.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Chris, because when I talk to lots of marketers, the conversation very quickly descends to lead generation, customer acquisition, cost of acquisition, lifetime value, ad spend, you know, all those usual things that marketers talk about. And, you know, I get it. That's fine. It's important, right? But I'm really curious to explore purpose and values as a foundational piece, because I think you're absolutely right. I think everything flows from that baseline of the foundation of the business. So can we just, I guess, begin with that conversation and then perhaps get into culture? And again, I'd really like to explore the fact that culture is a lever for marketing and marketing is a lever for culture. So can you just, for the sake of the audience, let's just articulate and clarify what you mean by purpose and what you mean by values, and let's just get some common understanding that we're all speaking the same language here.
Sure thing. A caveat just around marketers and why they go to those levers and those KPIs,
yeah,
is because they are very common KPIs that people are wanting to follow and measure, and extremely important, right?
Of course.
Okay. So you've got leading and lagging KPIs.
Yes.
So the leading KPIs are just as important as the lagging, and the leading KPIs are those, you know, those softer KPIs, so purpose and values, right? And then you can get further down the funnel and look, I'm not going to go there today because we don't want to, right? We can leave that for the other marketers. How do we get to purpose?
Yeah.
Look, my story is sad but true. After, I think it was 15 years, something along those lines in marketing, at least 10 years running an agency full time, I'd split myself and split my energy across two businesses.
Mm.
And my mentor said, if you want to ride two horses, you need two asses. And he doesn't know anyone with two asses.
I love that. That's awesome.
It's my favorite saying, and I credit it to him, Lee Kelson. And I went, okay, right. So I thought that my agency was capable of running itself.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately it wasn't. And so when I'd finally made the decision to come back and go full time back into the business, I was somewhat forced to do that because essentially the agency was nearly kaput.
Mm.
Right. While I stepped away from it for a little while, it nearly went belly up.
Okay.
And that devastated me. My identity was my business.
Mm.
Right. And so I've then hit a brick wall, and that was and the signs of depression.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't clinically diagnosed. I didn't go to a psychologist, but put it this way, I didn't feel like getting out of bed.
Yeah, okay. So not in a good way.
No. I was pretty upset, and I didn't know how to get out of this hole. I felt like I had no purpose anymore. I didn't understand what my values were. And of course, this was all coming about right at around the same time, you know, as 40 was looming.
Yep. Okay.
So, you know, midlife crisis, you know, blah, 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 comparing myself. And of course, you know, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes. One of my favorite sayings.
And it was sucking the joy out of my life, comparing myself. I'm 30, you know, late 30s. I should be here. I should be there. Look at all these, you know, young guns killing it, mate, it's crushed me.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, my dead father's voice rang in my head, and he said, Chris, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I'm still lying in bed at this stage, and I just went, yeah, you're right. And so I listened to his values. He and I had a very good relationship, and I established what my values were based on his, and the person that I admired most in my life. And lo and behold, they were obviously mine too.
Yeah.
Then I realized that our agency somewhat didn't have a purpose, and our methodology was existent but not really formed and solid. And so I realized that our agency's methodology didn't have a purpose. And I solidified and crystallized that into proactive methodology, And the P stands for purpose. Mm. So you could say that it was proactive before that.
Yep.
And the P just crystallized it for me. And honestly, that was a game changer. A methodology, a strategic methodology that could be used in order to plan a marketing strategy, but also the PRO, et cetera, was also the way to execute the marketing. And lo and behold, it was also the way to measure the marketing. So from beginning to end, from outset to end, you have a consistent methodology, which means that your marketing is consistent.
Mm.
And that is extremely important because I tell you what, as entrepreneurs and business owners, we are so good at chasing the shiny thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have dealt endlessly with clients across many different industries where this methodology is agnostic. It goes across every single industry that I've worked in. And one of the most common things that I've discovered when I've worked with those organizations is that the director of those organizations wants to chase the shiny thing. And therefore, I'm saying we've got to go on this straight line. And he's going, right? All over it. And it is so common.
I think all of us, I'm going to put two hands in the air here and say, have been distracted by shiny objects in the past. But it's really interesting you say that coming back to that central path, the path that is purpose-focused, purpose-driven, actually accelerates your progress because you're not wasting energy, you're not chasing the shiny rabbits. I remember at the beginning of there's a book called The One Thing, and at the beginning of the book there's a Russian proverb, I think it is, the man who chases two rabbits catches neither or something like that, right? It's similar to the two asses comment, really. But it is an accelerant if you can be focused on that one path. And what I'm really liking about the purpose part of that is it's a filter. Like it allows you to examine, do I do this, do I not do that? Is that reasonable to use purpose as a filter?
Yeah, look, it is, but the values that underpin your purpose are actually very good at guiding and telling you what's right and wrong.
Yep.
Because if you go, look, this is our purpose and it's to do this and this is our mission, and look, and visions and all that sort of stuff, you don't actually need all of them, right? You can just stick with one and that's purpose and that's great,
yep.
Right? It really simplifies things. But if you want to, you can go through all of them. But then it's the values that actually keep you on track.
Yeah.
Because when you go, shiny thing, oh, I want to do that. You look at your values and you go, well, does it align with any of those values? No, okay, done.
Yeah.
So anytime I wanted to veer off course, I use the 9-box grid, the proactive 9-box grid.
Yeah.
Right. And I go, right, well, what's the purpose of this particular marketing campaign? What's the research I've done? Opportunity? What's the audience? What's the content? Where do I turn it on and distribute? How much am I going to invest in it? So that's Ignite, V for verification, E for evolve.
Yeah.
Right. As I start that 9-box grid, I nearly, it's like 9 times out of 10, purpose, blah, blah, blah. Research, none. Right? One person.
Yeah, okay. N=1. Yeah, righto.
Yeah. My sample size is way too small to justify any reason to go forth on that marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Boom, forget it. Move on. Right?
Yeah, nice.
Kills the idea, stops me from wasting time thinking about it, gets me back on track. Off I go again.
So can you just run through the proactive methodology and could you just spell it out? So P is for purpose, R is for research.
Yes.
O was for opportunity.
P for purpose, R for research.
Yep.
O for opportunity.
Yep.
A for audience.
Yep.
C for content.
Yep.
Turn it on.
Yep.
I, ignite. V, verify and validate.
Yep.
E, evolve.
Nice. Love that.
So you know what? Sometimes when you do the 9-box grid and you have this big grand idea, it starts with E. Oh, I'm going to be on telly. I'm going to be famous. You know, I'm going to be, you know, living it up in the penthouse at Kira.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever it is, right? I'm going to be working from the top floor in, you know, in a Sydney, you know, high rise or whatever it is. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be leather couches everywhere, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, that's the evolve piece. That's the end goal. Let's work it back. How are we going to get there? Guess what? the research piece, again, dead in the water. Mm. Okay, get back on track. Stop dreaming. Go get back to work.
Yeah, I love it. I wanted to ask you, because purpose and values are obviously, you know, the major foundational building blocks that we've spoken about thus far. Just for the sake of talking about a brand or a company that people might recognize as executing this well, consistently being on purpose, consistently living their values, could you name a company that you feel embodies this really well?
Look, the best one in the world is Patagonia.
Yeah, okay.
My God, like Yvon Chouinard, you know, founded Patagonia many, many moons ago, and his story is fantastic. Look, Nike did it as well. You know, Phil Knight.
Yep.
Yvon Chouinard and Phil Knight have two things in common, one thing very much in common, and that is that they lived and breathed the problems that existed for the customers they were going to serve.
Yeah, okay. So they knew that market because, in a sense, they were that market.
100%.
Yeah.
And so were their friends and everybody they hung out with. So their sample size for their research was huge, right? Also, their value sets, they understood them innately.
Yeah.
It was their own and their friends and family, right?
Yeah, nice.
Everybody they hung out with had the same value sets.
It's really interesting. I'm curious to understand, I don't know if we can name a brand where they have gone away from that core purpose and maybe they've come unstuck.
Well, look, the two biggest ones come to mind is Kodak and Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Kodak could have owned the digital photographic space.
Yeah, right? Totally.
And you know what? They actually invented some of the technology that's still used today.
Yep.
They just didn't double down.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Actually, this is a small fun side note. I've got a daughter who's in year 11 at school and she's doing a business subject and she's doing marketing this term. And her project is to design a marketing program to relaunch Kodak. And it's very timely that you bring up that company. And the other option she had was Blockbuster or Toys R Us as well. There's a few of those around. So I guess that's the thing is if you don't continue to stay on purpose and – what I'm hearing around that, though, is the purpose is consistent, but the application of it changes as the environment changes as well. So Kodak being prime case in point, if they'd stuck to their purpose, because they were a very innovative company. You know, they had the box camera with a film in it and they, you know, pioneered processing and all that sort of stuff. And if they'd if their purpose was to innovate the photography market, then they would have continued using that digital photography technology that they developed and own that market. So, yeah, I guess that's
they got comfortable, mate. They got comfortable, they got lazy, and they didn't adapt.
Yeah. And that's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think as small businesses, we've got to be mindful of that as well. And when you're in the trenches, going back to what you spoke about earlier, how do you manage all of that thinking, that strategic thinking about, you know, where's the market, where's it shifting to, what's happening, how do I remain on purpose but remain relevant at the same time when you're head down, bum up, you know, in the trenches?
You can't.
So how do you resolve that?
You can't do it yourself.
Yeah.
So, well, you can, but you've got to give yourself a week or three off.
Yep.
You know? And for small business owners, that just seems like an impossible task sometimes, right? Mm. It's not impossible. It's doable and the place won't burn down without you and nearly always survives, right?
Sometimes it thrives for that too.
Yes, exactly.
Sometimes getting out of the way is actually removing a roadblock.
It's a great test, mate, honestly. Yeah. It's a test of your culture and your team and it should be done.
Yeah. Actually, just before you go on, can I just share something with you? One of our clients who's up at Narang, actually, your way, the way he's been able to take himself off the tools is exactly what you've just said. He would go away, see what broke, come back, fix it, go away again, see what broke the next time and continue to evolve and train the team. So what you've just articulated really does work. So, mate, thank you for bringing that up. Sorry to interrupt you, Chris.
The common problem for business owners is being stuck in the trenches. Right. You got the blinkers on, head down, bum up, going for it. And you know what? For most business owners, that's fine because they understand their purpose and they're enjoying what they're doing.
Yeah.
If they're not enjoying what they're doing, they might be enjoying it in other ways, and that is just seeing the bank balance go up, or they're enjoying it because happy wife, happy life, right? Whatever it is, yeah. Happy kids. You know, maybe the kids and the wife are going on holidays, but he's got to stay, you know, in the practice, yeah. Right? Yeah. That's extremely common too. For small business owners across, you know, every industry, that's common. When you're stuck in the trenches, you can't see the forest for the trees, right? That old chestnut. And I was there. My mentor, same guy, Lee Kelson, raise your gaze, Chris. You got to get out of the trenches, mate. Raise your gaze. And it's like, you're not strategic. Oh, that boiled my blood.
Yeah,
wow. Right? Because I know that I am strategic. I knew then that I was strategic. Why the hell wasn't I being strategic for myself and my clients?
Mm.
And it's because I was just stuck on the tools, doing the tactical stuff that got shit done. And clients love that. But here's what happened. When I raised my gaze, when I stepped away, when I had that moment where I needed to evaluate my life's purpose and my agency's life purpose, I was away from the organization, even if it was only for a week. Mm. And yeah, stuck in bed, walking around aimlessly, you know, in the forest, which I did a lot of. It was the time away from the office that actually gave me the clarity. And so all too often when business owners do not have time to do this themselves, they bring in consultants.
Mm.
That's me. They call me up, come in, help me, right? But the problem is that because they didn't come up with the idea themselves, they often don't implement it.
Mm.
So it can't just be abdicated to a consultant. It has to be a team effort. So too does the growth of the organization, the implementation of the strategy and the execution and the measurement and so on and so forth has to be a team effort.
One of the things that I was just talking to someone about just yesterday actually is that what I see is the key differentiator between someone who's going to really go okay versus someone who's going to absolutely kill it is the implementation piece, right? And you know, it's about applied knowledge rather than just knowledge, right? What is it that stops people implementing? Is it just because you're in the trenches too much and they're kind of swamped with stuff, or is there something else going on?
They don't believe in it.
Yep.
And they're swamped with stuff.
Yep.
And as again, it often just comes back to they don't believe in it because they didn't come up with the idea. They're not owning it,
yes. Right?
They're not invested in it. It doesn't bring on a positive feeling inside them. You know, there's something not quite right, and they can't articulate it.
Yeah.
More often than not, it's just that simple. I'm not owning it because I didn't come up with the idea. I wasn't part of this solution, so on and so forth, and. Business owners have to learn to delegate, but this is such an important piece. They do need to be very much a part of it. Why? Because in the beginning, they are the business. Their value sets are the reason why they're there. And if those value sets don't resonate through their entire organization and the team, then far out, the business owner is just like, he's just biting his lip constantly. And just going, why isn't this person doing this or why isn't this working? Why?
Mm.
It grates them something fierce, and it just comes down to these value sets, really. The purpose and value sets is not there.
I really love the idea of foundational piece of values and purpose. I have lived that for a long time. I'm firmly of the view that businesses that are values driven are not just more profitable, but they're just more enjoyable to be around because you feel a sense of alignment, you feel a sense of, I guess, kinship. And I'm guessing that translates to your customer base as well. If they buy into your values, there's going to be a fit there. So how do you talk about these levers in that regard? I'm just curious to understand what that looks like on a practical level.
Yeah, so we're down in execution. We're down in the weeds now, right? So,
yeah, let's get our hands dirty. Let's get a bit of soil, get a bit of good stuff, a few worms.
Once you have these values in place, I did work out while going through this period and looking back on my life that if we have three values in common with our team or people in our lives, we can get along. But sometimes, here's the caveat, sometimes there is a value, a specific value or value sets that just don't really fit with us, right? And if somebody in the relationship owns one of those values, you need to go, look, that's just not me.
Mm.
You know, like you got to ask yourself the honest question. You can nod and say, yeah, I'm that. But as soon as you sort of raise your voice and start going, yeah, I'm that, like you're just trying to convince yourself that you have that value set and therefore you haven't really owned it. And so there's this careful play of values, right?
Mm.
I believe that everybody needs to be on par with all those values now.
Mm.
It used to be three. That's what my theory was and it was what I saw happening, but then it wasn't until, and here, I'm going to be really honest here, until we started applying this more and more to clients and started testing different industries and testing different business owners that we realized the error of our ways. And these mistakes are just fantastic, right?
Yeah.
I used to kick myself constantly from making mistakes, but these ones I was like, wow, how fantastic is that? That, you know what? We had to go at it. We had to go at this contract, this marketing. And, you know, it was this one value that just left us undone, right? And what was that? Well, funnily enough, in that particular situation, it was actually professionalism.
Okay.
Right. Let me call it another word. It's also anal. And another word, micromanagement.
Yeah, okay.
And very few people like to be micromanaged.
No.
And I'm one of them, right? You can see from the look of the hair on my head and my face that nothing here is managed micro. So let's talk about the dental practice specifically. There are too many people working in a dental practice that realistically didn't want to do this as a long-term career, right? They got the job because it paid well, the shifts fit with their lifestyle, whatever they were doing,
mm-hmm.
and they came in, they went home, and they were able to go on holidays and pay their bills and life was good. But there's just no growth, right, unless they're going to become the dentist. There's nowhere for them to move in the organization.
Mm.
Personal growth is hugely important to humans.
Mm.
We can't just be, you know, a mouse on the mouse wheel for our entire career. It's not fulfilling. We want to go to work and we want to feel fulfilled. In the practice, here is a way that practices should actually implement personal growth culture. And that is, right, come work for me and we will help you design your career. We will help you achieve the personal growth that you desire, whatever it is. And people will come to work happy and you'll have conversations about, what did you do yesterday? Oh, I was doing this and it was so amazing. And they share stories once amongst each other. And lo and behold, there'll be someone in there that goes, you know what? This is fantastic. I want to be a dentist now.
Mm.
I want to be the person that gives this to another team. I want to pass this baton on, whether it's in my own practice or whether it's in this one. You know what? More often than not, they're going to stay because leaving's too hard.
Mm.
And that is fulfillment. Being a leader and actually giving growth to people, right? When you do something for somebody, it lights you up more than when you do it for yourself.
Mm.
Oxytocin.
Yep. Happy hormone.
Random acts of kindness. You know, oxytocin goes up, dopamine, serotonin, the happiness trifecta. This is a way that I believe practice owners should be implementing, you know, I think culture and growth in their organizations.
Mm-hmm.
The other way is to create heroes.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Everybody in their organization should become an essential part of the story, and that is through content creation. It's really easy in big organizations because, you know, like, 150 people in an organization, you've got content for days.
Yeah.
Go out and interview So photograph them.
Yep.
Interview them.
Yep.
Video them. You know, you might have to do it 2 years down the track again.
Yeah. But small teams, a bit more frequently, right?
Exactly. But then what are the small teams doing? Right. When you implement causes into an organization, you can go, hey, look, it's not just about us. What are we passionate about, people? What is really floating our boat? You know what? Everybody's got an idea. That's fantastic. How about we do this year on that one, next year on that one, the year after on that one, and so on and so forth. Does that work?
Yep.
Yes. Great. So then clean up Australia Day, everybody's out marching around, got their gloves on, got their masks on, actually look like a dental nurse or dentist, right? You know, like put the logo on the chest, have a bit of a dance, go out, have a bit of fun. Wow, what a day.
Yep.
How fulfilling was that?
Yep.
These types of things and activities are just not budgeted for.
Mm.
But when you do these things in an organization, all you need to do is bring the photographer and the marketer along and the videographer along and capture it and proliferate that through your social media, your emails, and so on and so forth. And that's marketing, and that's building a brand that people can truly love for more reasons than just your product or service.
Yeah, I really love that. And I know you've got your book, which is about building brands on purpose. And I really, really love that because it goes back to, as you say, just to join a few dots here for the audience, because I think there's some real gold that you've shared. And I just want to weave that into a little bit of a tapestry. And that is, if we start with our purpose and our values, we have a team who is aligned with those purpose and values. We've got a culture of growth and development. We've got causes that we're part of. And if we have a team that feels that, lives that, experiences that, and then at the appropriate times we record and share that, we're going to attract patients who share those views, values, and feel the same way. So it becomes like a virtuous cycle, basically.
Exactly, 100%. Look, Maya Angelou, famous author, was attributed with the saying, people won't always remember what you did, but they'll remember how you made them feel, right? Always. They'll always remember how you made them feel. So if you can create an emotional response within your audience, within your team, it's going to last a lifetime.
Yeah, 100%.
It wasn't just, that guy or girl did my teeth. How did they make me feel?
Mm.
Oh, they told me this amazing story about how they went out and did this thing, you know, and you know, the whole team went along. And it wasn't just the dentist talking, it was the dental nurse, and he or she was going, yeah, it was amazing, you know, and it was buy-in, and everyone's happy and high-fiving and laughter. Get out. Like, you got me. This place is off the hook.
Everyone wants a piece of that, don't they? It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, for some people listening to this podcast, they're probably going to go, this is not the average marketing podcast that I was expecting. I was expecting, you know, click this, share that, write this, do that. And I really love this approach, by the way, because I think this is at the heart of it all. And I think if you don't address the heart of it and you deal with the tactics and not the strategy, you're going to miss the point, which is coming to what you said earlier. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about, again, that interplay of strategic thinking, raise the gaze, et cetera, because if you could just circle back to that, because I actually think this is really important, and it's easy, as you said earlier, it's easy for people to hear this, but if they haven't come up with themselves to go, right? And I want to avoid a yeah, nah scenario for someone listening to this. And I wanted to see if we could circle back to the strategy and just unpack that a little bit more and say, what are we really trying to achieve? We're trying to achieve a team that's, you know, aligned with our purpose and values. We want to have happy teams. We want to have happiness ourselves. We want to have patients in our case, or customers in other businesses' cases, that feel the same way. Is that basically the strategy that we're kind of operating under? Is that, you know, how would you describe that? What would you add to that? What other threads would you put into the mix there?
That is pretty much it in a nutshell. And I'll just, before we get into that, say that the number one reason this isn't implemented is because people think it's just wishy-washy.
Yes.
wishy-washy, softy-feely, touchy-feely.
But it's not. There's a commercial outcome you're achieving here, right?
100%, mate. Like, I do have shoes on. Just because I've got long hair and a beard doesn't mean that I'm a corporate hippie, right?
Yep.
But I tell you what, I've gotten in touch with who I am and my purpose and my values, and I'm a business owner that doesn't want to come to work and have challenges with their team and challenges with their culture and challenges with their customers. Yeah, and there's a lot of tactical things that I need to do each day in order to make sure that that doesn't occur. But on the foundation of it all, what's my why? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What makes me happy? And yeah, look, I have bad days and I question myself and I go, hey, why am I doing this? Why, you know, should I do something else? You know, mate, that is, I don't know the last time that I thought about that. It was years ago now, right? Because to be honest, what I do now as a strategic marketer lights me up.
And I really appreciate the delineation there of strategic marketing, right? Because that's the whole point of this conversation is to go back to strategy. Hey, I can't let the podcast go without asking something that's caught my attention on your website.
Righto.
Okay. He's just going, what's on the website? Shit, what's he saying? Gary V.
Fantastic guy.
Yeah. So tell me about that experience. What did you pick up? What was the insight?
Look, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's the real deal marketer, you know, walking the walk, talking the talk. And you know what, as a business owner that's created a global team, he's learned some valuable skills. I don't listen to him anywhere near as much as I used to, but it's really funny when I actually do, because he's a similar age to me and we're actually both on the same page when it comes to content marketing. And it just fascinates me. Like, I still haven't read his latest book and I didn't go to see him when he was in Brisbane just last week. But, you know, yeah, that interview that I did with him in 2019 was fantastic. It was a fantastic experience and I'm truly grateful for that.
Chris, I'm really grateful that we've had this conversation. And I'll tell you why I'm really grateful. A, I'm grateful because you've made the time and you're very generous and that's tremendous. And from me to you, a big heartfelt thanks. But I'm especially grateful because it is a conversation that prompts thought. It's a conversation that prompts reflection. It's a conversation that I think is kind of the real conversation that really needs to be had, not, you know, how do I get my click-through rate up or my, you know, open rate or this, you know, whatever, right? Important though those things are, and I don't want to sound like I'm being disrespectful to anyone who's focusing on those things. We get it. But I think this is the real conversation. So I wanted to say thank you so much for reminding us to be strategic, for reminding us to go back to those foundations, because if we can get that right, if we can be purpose-driven, we can be values-driven, we align ourselves with our values and we're clear about those, we live those every day, we align a team around that, we've got happy teams, happy dynamics, we have patients that come in and share that. And I think what that means is you create a practice in our case where you're getting your commercial outcomes, but you just enjoy the journey. And I think life's too short to not enjoy the journey.
You're absolutely right. It is. And look, there's the other, I think, message that comes into this is that, oh, look, balance is non-existent in business. You know, forget about balance, right? People are chasing balance all the time. No, that's wishy-washy. You got to work your bum off. No Netflix, no this, no that, just head down, bum up for years and years of pain before you actually get what it is you want. But what if it doesn't come?
Yeah.
What if it doesn't come and you've gotten to, you know, 10, 15 years, 20 years into your career and all of a sudden you're going, hang on, all those things that I thought I was going to get by running my own business actually didn't come to fruition. So why didn't I just bloody enjoy the ride?
Yeah.
Right. And you know what? I would have enjoyed it more if I knew where I was aiming. And Jordan Peterson's latest book is just fantastic. He resonates on this and talks about this constantly. We absolutely should have a goal to aim for. And because if we don't, we're just going to be disheartened and confused is basically my summary, right?
Yep.
And should we work hard to attain that goal? Absolutely. Should we have breaks along the way? Should we have some self-care?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Self-care is hugely important. My whole regime, morning regime, is about self-care so that I can conquer the day. Conquer the morning, conquer the day, right? Mate, I'm grateful for you getting me on. I'm grateful that we were able to share this story. It is not wishy-washy, hippie crap.
No,
not every at all. One of my clients implement this strategy. They're happier for it. Their teams are happier for it. And guess what? The results are actually speaking for themselves as well. And I would normally show a graph here that says implementation and execution looks like this, right?
Yep.
Looks pretty good.
Yep.
Implement a strategy and aim at that goal that you want and it'll go like that. Might be slow, but it will. And I've got the graphs to prove it.
Yeah, nice. That's fantastic. Chris, if people want to get in touch with you, is the best place for them to reach out at chrishogan.com.au or would you rather them go and find you on socials? Where's the best place to catch up with you?
chrishogan.com.au is the ego talk. LinkedIn is normally where I'm, I guess, sharing most of my content and, yeah, accept inbox requests there. And look, yeah, on Instagram is a bit of my personal life and sometimes my business story. But, yeah, memedia.com.au is the agency, so might as well hit one of those.
Also, I'd really encourage people to have a listen to the Proactive podcast as well. Being a podcaster, I always think podcasts are a great medium and I'd encourage everyone to check that out as well and check out all the other resources. Chris, again, my heartfelt thanks and deepest gratitude to you, mate, for taking the time to share your wisdom and experience with us today, and I'm really, really appreciative. So thank you so much, pal.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.